Hello, everybody, and welcome to the now second episode of Designated Driver, the preset podcast where we have a beer with a different database-centric team or person, and beer being optional, of course. But we just like to talk about database drivers and Apache Superset and all of that good stuff. We'll go ahead and do a little quick round of introductions, and I'll go first. My name is Evan Roussakis. I'm a committer and PMC member on the Apache Superset project. I'm also a total beer nerd of all sorts. So combining these two things is fun for me. And I'll go ahead and pass it over to Beto.
Hey, I'm Beto de Almeida. I'm a software engineer, also committer, PMC member on Apache Superset. I work across the stack, but a lot of the stuff I love doing is connecting Superset to databases, making sure it's easy to connect. And, you know, like we want people to jump into their data when they're using Superset. So that's me, and I'll pass it on to you, Jordan.
Hi, I'm Jordan Tagani, co-founder and chief duck herder at Mother Duck. I am like also kind of a beer nerd, but today I'm having like kombucha and not actually beer, because it's only mid-afternoon for me and I get a bunch more meetings. I don't want to have to take a nap. But yeah, excited to get a chance to chat with you folks.
Fantastic. Usually we do a little round of our beer introductions at some point during this thing, but I'm curious, what kombucha do you prefer?
I don't actually like kombucha. I was just like trying to find like what is the closest thing that we have at the work fridge to beer, and this is what I came up with. But I am a sort of an IPA nerd. I live in Seattle and sort of fit many of the Seattle stereotypes.
Oh, cool. There's a lot of good beer in that area. I can attest to that. Well, maybe we should go around on that front. Beto, what did you bring today?
Yeah. Well, I'm in Miami, so it's 4:30 here, 4:35. I try to get the closest thing to a duck-related beer that I could find. Cool. So this is a Goose Island IPA, and it has like a goose. And like, I mean, goose, duck, you know, what's the difference?
I was a big fan of Goose Island. You know, I feel like the quality kind of went downhill from there. But also it is appropriate for the conversation, so that's great.
Right. I got stuck in the same place. I also have a Goose Island beer. I have actually the same IPA in my fridge, but in diversifying things, I went for one of their fancy schmancy ones, which is the part of their Bourbon County Barrel Aged Imperial Stout series.
I did. What's the percentage on that one?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Let's see where it says. I'm guessing it's around 14%. Oh, it's 12. Okay. That's enough. It's a light beer. So I'm going to need that nap. But, so now we can play. Now we can play Goose Goose Duck, I guess. Sorry, but yeah, I used to have a beer that was called Duck Duck Goose. Goose is a style of beer.
Goosey.
Yeah, exactly. You know. All right. But that beer is exceedingly rare and worth a lot of money, and I drank it all. It was a collector's item I broke out on a special occasion once.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, what's the, you know, like about consumables is if you don't consume them, like you can't just like keep them on a shelf, because if you keep them on the shelf, they go bad.
That's true.
So you gotta actually drink it. I had that happen with some wine. I had like bought some nice-ish wine over the last 20 years and just kept it in my basement. And then during the pandemic, I'm like, actually, I should probably drink some of these wines if the world is ending. And then, you know, cracked them open and is like, this is kind of vinegary. Oh, this is vinegary too. So it's a good lesson.
Yeah, it's true. I think beer's the same sort of way, where certain types will age well, but others are not so graceful. Gosh, I have to imagine during the pandemic, probably half the world drank up their cellars and the other half started new ones out of paranoia.
They replaced the wine with like paper products.
Right, the toilet paper cellar. Those were the days. Well, let's talk shop a little bit. Maybe Jordan, if you don't mind, can you give us a little bit of kind of your origin story with all things duck?
Yeah, sure. So, I was at Google because I thought, like, you know, I was really into big data. I thought big data was going to change the world, and Google sort of had that figured out more than anybody else. And I helped start Google BigQuery, and you know, worked on that product for 10 years, and kind of saw a lot of like big, you know, data sets and big use cases. But one of the things that I also noticed was that like the vast majority of people didn't have giant amounts of data. And like even the people that did have a lot of data, like they only ended up using a small portion of their data. So it's like you had all this, you know, massive power, and that we had designed, you know, all of these complex systems to deal with giant data, and that people, you know, didn't really need. And so I kind of started thinking there might be another way. I ended up moving to single store for a couple of years, you know, working on their database and then their database as a service, and saw some of the similar things, and just also people wanting a smaller version. People like also that like we had really successful customers running as a single node, which sort of blew my mind, because it's like, hey, you know, like the whole point of, you know, building these, you know, modern data systems was to scale out, and like, but if you run into single node, it's so much simpler. And then I ran into this database called DuckDB. Kind of, we saw it on some like competitive benchmarks, and it's like, kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, wow, this is pretty cool. And, you know, it was a single node scale up, super fast. And it's like, hey, you know, if people don't need massive amounts of data, or don't have massive amounts of data, single node works really well. Something like DuckDB could be amazing. Somebody should build that as a service in the cloud. And I thought, maybe, you know, I worked on a couple of cloud databases as a service. Maybe I should do that for a little while. And so I was planning on hacking on something for as a side project for a little while. Ended up sort of accidentally raising money and starting a company based on it. And that was just about 2 years ago. And, you know, we've been sort of going, you know, ever since.
And so DuckDB is part of the Duck Foundation. How long has that been around? And what's your business's relationship with that foundation?
So great question. So the DuckDB Foundation was started about 3 years earlier. So DuckDB was started about 3 years earlier. So I guess they're about 5 years old. And it was started by Hannes Mulheisen and Mark Rosfeld in Amsterdam. Hannes was a database professor at CWI, and Mark was a graduate student. And Hannes had just gotten tenure, and so had some time to kill, or nobody was going to tell him like not, you know, what to do. Mark had finished his PhD papers, and so kind of had some time to kill. And so, like, you know, they had been working on MonadB, which is kind of older and creakier, and like we should start something from scratch and make it, you know, make it really good. So they turned out to be incredible engineers, as well as sort of database academics, which is, you know, very often not the case. Actually, database people tend to be pretty good engineers. I don't know what it is, and so they built this sort of DuckDB thing, and sort of it grew and grew, and then they put a foundation around it to sort of maintain the sort of integrity of the open source project. And then so when I actually sort of first contacted them, I was actually looking for a job. I'm like, hey, you know, like any chance you guys, you know, would want to build a cloud service, and like I'd love to do it with you, and are you hiring? And like, well, we kind of really want to just focus on the core database. But we'd be willing to partner. We'd be happy to partner with you, and so that was very exciting and heartening. And so kind of what we did was, you know, we basically gave them a co-founder share of MotherDuck when we started. So like, you know, they're not doing the venture-backed thing, but like they have a co-founder share, so they have upside if MotherDuck works really well. Mm-hmm. You know, in exchange, you know, they gave us an exclusive. They won't work with anybody else that's doing something similar, and. You know, we give them some funding to help, you know, build out the core database. And I think it's this really nice symbiotic relationship, because they get to do the thing that they love. They love like building an amazing, great open source database. And they, you know, they want it to be ubiquitous. They want everybody to use it. They want it to be awesome. And I think also for the people that rely on that, and the people that are excited about, you know, DuckDB as an open source project, you know, they also can trust that they're not going to try to, you know, change the license at some point, because, you know, they are really kind of have this, they don't have like somebody, you know, shareholders telling them they need to go and like, mm-hmm. and do something different. On the other hand, they do get to see, you know, I think sometimes with open source projects, people don't always see the upside from, you know, if somebody builds a company around it, but in this case, they actually do. And on our side, we get this sort of close partnership. They've built a bunch of hooks in DuckDB for us. They built a bunch of features for us. So it's been a really, really great from our perspective to work with them. And you know, we also benefit from sort of the halo effect of being close to the DuckDB team. Like, we have distribution in DuckDB. So in like, if you change the database name to start with MD colon, it starts running in the cloud in Mother Duck, which is sort of a really, I think, a pretty unique sort of local to kind of cloud thing. And then that was enabled by this relationship.
Yeah, that's a really unusual and interesting and pretty dreamy situation, to be honest. Because, you know, Apache Superset's part of the Apache Software Foundation, and there's a whole ethos around the idea of vendor neutrality, and, you know, you're not supposed to be promoting any commercial offering within the open source, realm, I guess you would say. But that's all fair game from where you sit, if you're actually in that official partnership and you're not, it's not just that vendors are acceptable, but you're actually the preferred vendor, and it all works out very smoothly, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think for Apache, you're even discouraged from putting your job title in the email, right? In the mailing list.
Right.
Because your job title shouldn't matter inside the Apache Software Foundation. Some people put, I'm a VP of engineering, and they say, hey, nobody cares. Don't put your title in your emails.
It's just committer versus not committer.
Right.
We're all kind PMC. Of
individuals of equal merit until we've grown more merit. It's an interesting thing. I'm curious, like, you guys have been growing and blowing up a lot in terms of exposure, and obviously we met because there's a Superset and Mother Duck integration that works beautifully. I do use it all the time when I'm doing demos and things, because like you said, you don't always have giant data. You just want to do something quickly and easily and smoothly, and you tick all the boxes for that, so thank you. Yeah, what other kind of trends or things have you seen evolving in kind of the integration landscape?
I also use the preset integration. Like, kind of a lot of our you know, key customer dashboards are preset. Obviously, our data warehouse is Mother Duck, but we do really like the preset. We try to use a variety of things internally, just because we need to make, you know, we want to sort of dog food the duck food, the ecosystem. And I think that's been really nice, just to be able to sort of because it's one thing to, like, you often build a connector to something. And this is sort of experience that I had in BigQuery is like you build a connector, and unless you actually poke at it, unless you actually use it for real stuff, that then it's going to be crap. You know, it's going to be somebody who's going to use it with a bigger, you know, wider schema, or they're going to try to do something with, like, you know, kind of more complicated, and like it falls over, and then they complain, and then you get into this sort of nightmare of the end user of this BI tool complains about something. You know, is it the BI tool? Is it the connector? Is it your database? Is it like the user doing something goofy? How do you get the logs? Like, how do you that's not your customer. It's not necessarily even your customer that you know. Like, it's just really, it can be really difficult. And so I think it's important for us to sort of really build some high quality connectors. And working with the preset folks has been great to get a high quality connector. One of the other things that's sort of interesting is the way, DuckDB and MotherDuck work is that our client, the MotherDuck client is DuckDB. So every time you're using MotherDuck, you have DuckDB on the client side. If you're using like a JDBC driver, that JDBC driver has the DuckDB library inside of it and all the DuckDB code, and it's a full-blown DuckDB database. Mm-hmm. But then it can talk out to MotherDuck. Or likewise, the preset connector, the superset connectors, both have DuckDB in it. So one cool thing is that, like, hey, if anybody's building anything to connect to DuckDB, it just works with MotherDuck because of you just change the database name. Also, we can, we can push workloads down to the client. Sometimes that's non-desirable. So in preset, we turn all that off so that it's not actually trying to run stuff on your cloud servers. But it can be very nice to sort of do local caching, as well. And, and I think we're going to be sort of also building a lot of features from that.
That is super cool. I always wanted to have like a smart cache in Superset that was SQL aware, so if you ask for some aggregation by country, it would cache that. And then when you ask for the aggregation overall, it could just reuse those results, some across country, because in this case, country is additive. So it seems like it could be used like this, right? As this kind of a smart cache.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the idea. Is like, you result caches, and then, result caches can be even considered sort of like a materialized view. So I think very often, and I think in BI tools, it's likely the same as you click on something and you do a drill down and then you go back, and basically all of those steps are highly cacheable, and even you do a drill down, that drill down may even be able to be satisfied from answers you have already computed. And if you have those things cached, then, it's basically, it's a materialized view resolution problem, versus and so I think there's some really cool things we actually have, an engineer working on, right now. We want to push push the envelope with that, but we also need to make sure that just the core meat and potatoes things work first.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about the audience? Because I've been reading. I used to be a climate scientist. I use SQLite a lot, and recently I've been seeing these articles recommending people to switch from SQLite to DuckDB for scientific analysis, data science. Is that a core group of your audience, or is it just something that is starting now?
So, one of the interesting things about DuckDB is that there's just a really, really wide variety of use cases. There's data scientists, there's data engineers and analysts and then there's developers, and there's people that are using it kind of in the back end to translate data from one format to another, and there's just lots and lots of things you can use DuckDB with. And so it's a goal with MotherDuck to be able to work with all those things, but in terms of the audience that we're really kind of going after, it's really two ideal customers. The first one is kind of people who are building, doing sort of data warehousing and, sort of lightweight data warehousing. Maybe you only have a couple of terabytes worth of data, we can make that really fast and probably an order of magnitude less expensive than other options. And I think there's a lot of people that, for whom that is that's something that they care about. And then the other one is people who are building applications where they want to show data to their end users. A lot of people are sort of showing kind of observability data to their end users. You think of a stock portfolio or Strava, where you can see your runs and be able to dig into things, or a CI/CD tool where you want to show what's the history of build times over, you know, and like you can drill down by user or repo, et cetera. So I think there's lots of these use cases, and MotherDuck works really well, partly because, you know, we can run a single DuckDB instance in the cloud that can auto scale for each one of the end users. We could have hundreds of thousands of, like, we call them ducklings, that run in the cloud. And so you don't have to like bin pack or size them. We can auto scale them up and we can scale them down. They scale down to zero, you know, partly because DuckDB has such a small footprint. We can run really, really tiny instances for the tiny customers, but then we can scale it up. I mean, I mentioned kind of scaling up, like we can scale up to the size of, you know, basically the size of the largest EC2 instance, you know, roughly the amount of hardware that's in a Snowflake 3 XL. And we can do that per user. So if you have 1,000 users, we could run one of those per users, or 1,000 giant users. But very often as you have one giant user and then some middle users and some tiny ones, and we can just sort of make that all work. And so that's really nice for a lot of these app developers, as well as like this hybrid execution where we can run stuff on the client. We can run stuff in the browser. So like running in WASM, like DuckDB runs in WASM in the browser. And we can do stuff that's like 60 frames per second. It's like a video game, like flying through your data. And that's also the kind of things that a lot of times people have, like they just haven't seen that kind of interactivity before. And you know, so as app developers are like, hey, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. I was checking out the WASM implementation, and I was surprised that even exists. It's a very cool thing. Just out of curiosity, as we get a little low on time here, is there anything released recently that's coming up on your near-ish term roadmap horizon that you're excited about?
Well, one thing is, you know, DuckDB is going 1.0. So it's at 0.10 right now. And for the last like 3 months, they've really just sort of been focusing on bug fixing, stability, and just sort of like making it work. They stabilized the storage format, and they're not working on performance really. They're working on just how do we get to 1.0, and so that's going to be kind of probably the end of May, early June, and so kind of we're kind of timing a lot of, you know, MotherDuck features as well to sort of land around that same time. But that's really sort of a like, hey, this is now ready for prime time, because a couple people have like complained, often based on sort of older information, though, that like, hey, I, you know, was running DuckDB and like I ran out of memory, or like, you know, some of these queries, you know, didn't do so well. And but I think it's really getting ready quite fast. And so I'm really excited for this 1.0. You know, we also are adding organizations tomorrow. Actually, is when that's going to launch. So like, just the ability to sort of work with your team in an organization, and you know, have you know, be able to share within the bounds of the organization, and you know, that's sort of a nice feature for people that, you know, hey, I have a small data team or a small, you know, and I just want to build a data warehouse for my company, that's going to land very soon.
Very cool. Thanks. Let's see. I guess in a similar way, we just released Apache Superset 4.0. And for anyone that's listening and is not aware, MotherDuck and DuckDB are supported on open source Superset if you install the appropriate drivers and do the setup. But it's also available out of the box on Preset. Just sign up for free and you get instant access. So that's it couldn't get any easier, really. Let's see.
Yeah, it does work very well. Like I've tried that out. Even I can do it.
Anything else from your side, Beto? Or would anybody else like to make any other announcements for that matter?
Well, just to add to what you said, there was a PR from MotherDuck recently that made it even easier to connect, right? Where you can like now the model where you configure the database is custom made for MotherDuck, and you can, with one click, you can get your access token and then just connect. It's even easier.
That's right. I saw that. That's very cool. So it's kind of just a very short loop to instantly grab that access token without having to look up in the docs or dig around in your account to find out where it is. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's a first for this particular product.
Yeah, exciting.
Cool. Well, all right. Well, cheers. Thanks for coming on today. It's a pleasure to have you here. And yeah, keep us in the loop if you ever want to do this again after kombucha hours, or, you know, there's a whole world of hard kombucha too if you want to have the worst of both worlds, I guess.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, thanks so much. I enjoyed it. It's fun. Always fun to chat.
All right, likewise. All right, take care.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.